As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, let's dissect this Rockets team from last night, this game. 95-85, the Warriors beat the Rockets. I'm actually stealing this, Seth, from my son James, who the group text was really popping last night at 11 o'clock at night between my two sons about the Rockets game. A lot of frustration. But I thought it was he netted it out perfectly just in terms of how he was feeling about certain guys on the team. He put them all into buckets. I'm like, man, this is actually a pretty good breakdown of like how I feel about some of these guys after one game. Granted, it's one game. I expect a lot of these guys to play better. But as far as like how these guys played last night, how we're feeling about these players, this is the first playoff game we've had a chance to break down with the Rockets since COVID, since the bubble. He's got 4 buckets here, and I'm curious if you feel similarly, because I feel similarly here.
The first 4 buckets is about as many buckets as the Rockets had last
night.
Exactly,
so this is right. Appropriate. Ironically, yes. That's as many 3-point buckets as the whole team had last night.
Yeah.
The first one is a good one. Showed out when it mattered. And that is a 2-man, very large man group, and that is Alperen Şengün and Steven Adams. I don't think anybody else deserves inclusion in the showed out when it mattered group last night.
Yeah, yeah. And Şengün, the only blemish really is the turnovers.
Yeah.
That Şengün performance, if you're going to Frankenstein together a good performance from this Rockets team, yeah, 26, do something, anything. 26 points is certainly something.
I will take that exact performance from Alperen Şengün in every game of this. I would sign up for that one easily, including that you got to take the turnovers with it. If he's going to turn the ball over, what did he turn it over? 5 times last night,
yeah,
I think?
Yeah, 5 times.
You know, if he's going to turn it over 5 times, best he go 11 of 18 from the field with 9 rebounds, you know, damn near a double-double. So I'm with you on that. I thought Steven Adams was the brightest spot of the game last night for the Rockets. The way he played, that their double big lineup did so many good things. I think that was it did good things in the 9 minutes that they played Golden State a couple of weeks ago, but I think in the playoffs with things changing and knowing that Steph Curry's not going to go 1-for-10 for a full game, I was encouraged by the big lineup when it was in there, and Steven Adams was just a beast on the glass last night. Just
so
ferocious.
What's the name of that bucket?
That bucket is showed out when it mattered. Like,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
does the next bucket include Jabari Smith Jr.?
It does. He's the only one in it, and that one is positive minutes. Positive minutes from Jabari Smith. And again, the only issue with him, like Şengün, is he did turn the ball over 4 times, including 2 turnovers, 2 bad turnovers at that sort of crucial juncture we talked about earlier where
they kept getting opportunities and then squandering them.
It was after the refs missed the out-of-bounds call on Draymond, and Steph hits that shot from the Y on Toyota in Toyota Center. And
I know that. I'm glad you described it that way. It was like, which part of the logo was it?
The Y.
Okay, yeah, good advertising for a Toyota there from Steph Curry.
Steph Curry. What is your Y, Steph? This one right here that I'm standing on, and I'm going to hit a 3 in your face. but I think you and I are of like mind on Jabari. Look, Jabari, 3 of 3 from the field, hit a 3, hit all his free throws, which nobody else on the Rockets can say that. Everybody else sucked from the line last night, or at least missed some foul shots. Yeah, so Jabari Smith Jr., positive minutes for Jabari. Mm-hmm. All right, next bucket. Not concerned, but I need more.
Yes.
There's three names in this one. Amen Thompson.
We call this the Framber Valdez category.
A little bit. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
Like, all right, I'm not concerned. But okay, we know you're better than this.
Great call. This is a Framber bucket. Amen Thompson, Dylan Brooks, Tari Eason. None of whom were great last night, but they did some good things out there at times.
They did some good things. But with Amen Thompson, yeah, it's all right, man. At some point, the defense is great, and we love you for that. Offensively, just give us something. And he was 4-for-9 from the field. He's 0-for-4 from the free throw line.
Make your foul shots.
Especially.
Yeah, make your foul shots. 9 rebounds, 6 assists. So he was out there doing stuff, but not to the degree he's done it in the regular season. Tari Eason, not a great shooting night, 3-of-10. He was 0-of-4 from 3. But again, he was active defensively, getting his hands in the passing lanes, active on the glass. Like Tari Eason, that's the thing, and I guess that's the difference with Jalen Green and guys like Tari Eason and Amen Thompson, and I'll throw Jabari in there, is that there are still redeeming qualities to the games of Eason and Jabari and Amen Thompson if they're not doing much offensively. You know, they're very active defensively. Jalen Green is more active than he used to be defensively, but he's not a good defensive player right now, you know.
So we're through three buckets with this?
Three buckets.
Now we're getting down into the fourth and fifth buckets.
The fourth and final bucket, yeah.
Oh, there's four buckets.
There's four buckets.
That's right.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So the top three buckets, what I would say is if it weren't for this existence of the fourth bucket, the first three buckets are all good enough to win a game in the playoffs.
No doubt. No
it's
doubt.
Not premier, and it's not the absolute pinnacle of what you want from them, and yet you can win as long as this fourth bucket isn't so abysmal. It's the fourth bucket. It's like that extra bucket that you pour into a dinghy that sinks the dinghy.
That's exactly
you know?
Right.
You're like, hey, look at this. We got like 2 or 3 inches below the bow there. I think we're going to be
Here, hold this bucket.
Yeah.
This bucket was labeled by my son, banished to Siberia. And that would be Jalen Green and Fred Van Brick. Fred Van Brick. And boy, he was throwing up some bricks last night, man. Let me get the numbers. I had him committed to
he
memory
was, okay,
before.
Fred VanVleet was 4-for-19.
Yeah.
He's 2-for-13 from the three-point line.
Yeah.
Jalen Green was 3-for-15.
Okay, so they were combined.
0-for-4 from the three-point line.
They were a combined. This is your starting backcourt. Starting backcourt was a combined 7-of-34 from the field and 2-for-17 from three-point range. I mean, it really is one of those things like, my God, make three more three-pointers. You know what I mean?
Two games often named in the like, okay, we'll trade for Kevin Durant, but not one of these guys. No way, no how.
Yeah, what does it
look
like?
That's how you win.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You're making me sound like that, everybody.
Yep.
You're making me sound like that. That was me. Mm-hmm. That was me, like 48 hours ago.
How many times did Kevin Durant cross your mind during the game last night?
473.
Roughly. It was a lot
and
for
I
me.
Felt guilty about it every single
me
time.
Me too. I hated it. I said on Friday that the biggest, like to me, the most annoying thing about this series could be that if the Rockets look inept offensively, especially in the half court, especially at times of the game where they need crucial buckets and they just can't get them, is that Kevin Durant is going to be a topic. And I guess we're kind of fulfilling that prophecy by talking about him on our popular radio show. But it's true. It's like it is something that crossed my mind several times. Like, they cut the lead to 4. Got to get a bucket. Boy, got to put some more game pressure on the Warriors here. And the shot is a Fred VanVleet three-point shot, you know?
That game for me, it was like after me just, you know, being very kind of cold on the potential of Kevin Durant. That was like me. I felt like I was Judas watching Jesus rise. I'm like, oh crap! This is I wish I'd like to take back some of those things I said a few days ago.
That's
not gonna go well for me in the history book.
The good book. Amen was killing me from the free throw line and a lot of in and out buckets. Yeah, look, it was not Amen Thompson's greatest game. It was not Tari Eason's greatest game. Jabari Smith had some turnovers. I think those guys are going to be fine. My biggest concern is Jalen Green. That was the moment looked way too big for him last night.
He regressed to some of his worst traits and former habits and just not making good decisions, hurrying things. Just he's developed this level of patience and understanding when to kick the ball out and kind of to scan the court. And it just looked like he was, it looked like a rookie in some regards, just putting his head down and going and running into things.
Text message, Jalen doesn't strike any fear into anybody. Not right now, he doesn't. He certainly doesn't. The Warriors don't fear Jalen Green, that's for sure. Here was Ime Udoka last night after the game on Jalen Green's performance.
I mean, they went after him some, but, played in the crowd a little bit too much, and it's not, like I said, it's not really the turnovers as much as, he only had one, but those shots in the crowd where you got to find your outlets. And so this is a team that's loading up. When he has his isolations on, whether it's up top or getting to the lane, they're packing the paint, and you got to find your outlets. That's going to be a big key throughout the series.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be more aware of his surroundings, of what's going on with him, what they're doing to him defensively, and know that if you got three Warriors near you, you got two open teammates somewhere. And he's gotten so good at that in the second half of the season.
And I think one thing is that the Warriors have done in general, not the last time they played, but like when they focus on Jalen Green and turn Jalen Green into the worst version of himself, it cascades down through the rest of the team. Mm-hmm. And it just throws everything off so much that you get a team that just, they've got their shooting issues. They can't be this bad at shooting.
The
Rockets did exactly what their blueprint is, which is they dominated the glass. They dominated rebounding in this game. They got all those second chance opportunities, and they did nothing with it. So that's the really frustrating thing is, if you told me afterwards, well, you know what? They actually didn't win the rebounding. They didn't do what they're good at. No, they did what they're good at. It's just that what they're bad at, they were really, really bad
they
at.
They did
it
in spades. Yeah. They did in spades. I got that text already. Okay, won't be able to pay Jalen. He doesn't have the Mamba mentality, work ethic, can't build around him. All right, so there's a lot to unpack in that text to the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. They kind of already have paid him, not max dollars, but he's making $30 million a year over the next few years. So he's gotten paid. Doesn't have the Mamba mentality or work ethic. I disagree with that. Look, he played 82 games the last two seasons. There's not a lot of guys in the NBA. I don't think there's any problem with Jalen Green's work ethic. He's worked to become a better basketball player.
Yeah, it's hard to say, like, okay, the Mamba mentality when, I mean, it's... The Mamba mentality is also coincides with being one of the best basketball players who ever lived.
Correct.
Like, who has that talent and ability to do it. Like, to suggest that just because a guy's not living up to his potential is because he doesn't do the same things. You could throw 99.5% of NBA players who ever lived don't have the Mamba mentality. You don't need him. You don't need him to be Kobe Bryant.
No.
You need him to be something close to the best version of himself.
Yeah. I do think, a lot of times this turns into a conversation. If Jalen Green's your best player, how far can you go? And I think it's debatable that Jalen Green's even their best player. I think there's a case to be made for Şengün. I think there's a case to be made for Amen Thompson being their best all-around player. So that there is even a discussion about whether or not he is your best player kind of tells you, where you are with him right now. He's a good player. He got smothered last night. He's got to adjust. No doubt about that.
So then the Warriors are very much in the category that I used to have reserved for the Spurs, which is I'm watching these guys, except that now, just like the Warriors would do, they'd find a way to get a Kawhi Leonard or what have you. And this
Jimmy
Butler's on the team all of a sudden. And it's just, why won't you die? Why won't this Warriors franchise die? But in the playoffs, you could see Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry all have over 100 games of playoff experience, and they looked very much like the team that was more ready to win an ugly, sloppy college-style basketball game.
It's true. It is funny. It's one game, so I'm not going to overreact to one game. We'll react to it, but I don't want to overreact to it. But it is kind of funny, like when the Jimmy Butler stuff is going on in Miami.
Yeah,
you don't even think about it impacting you as a Rocket fan. Like, you point at it, you go, "Oh, that's look at Miami. They got to deal with this."
Nice that we don't have these problems.
Nice that we don't have these problems. Yeah. Or the question was, do you want would you trade for Jimmy Butler if you're the Rockets? And I remember...
I'm going all Judas again. No, we don't need Jimmy Butler.
I know on this show we said I don't want him. He's old, and look at what he's doing in Miami. I don't want that guy on our team. And little do you know that the way the basketball gods have it playing out is that he may be the very reason why you get knocked out of the playoffs in the first round. Because I can tell you right now, if the Warriors hadn't made that trade, the Rockets might be favored in this series.
Oh, no, 100%.
They might not even be the seventh seed.
The Warriors might not be in the the playoffs. Right. Jimmy Butler got there, and they've been a top five team offensively and defensively ever since Jimmy Butler got there. Yep. What it is a reminder, regardless of how the Rockets themselves played, when it comes to whether the Rockets should or should not trade for Kevin Durant, the Jimmy Butler scenario in Golden State is a reminder that, don't overly complicate this. Don't overthink this.
Yeah, he's
good. You know what? It's really good to have really good basketball players on your team.
Yeah. Text message, I need some Reed Sheppard and Cam Whitmore in the backcourt. That'll be interesting to see. I don't think Ime doesn't strike me, unless he feels like there's a good chess move reason to have those guys in there, like he saw something that Golden State was doing defensively where it might make more sense. It might make sense to give Reed Sheppard a few minutes. When you shoot 6 for whatever it was from three, that might make sense. Those are two of your better three-point shooters. Maybe getting them some minutes out there could make sense, especially when Fred VanVleet wasn't doing a whole hell of a lot for you out there. He just loves Fred VanVleet. He's not benching Fred VanVleet. Like, Fred VanVleet's still getting his 30 to 35 minutes. The question is, how do you divide up the rest of it? So, I wouldn't be opposed to it at all, Reed Sheppard or Cam Whitmore getting in there. I trust Ime Udoka to make the right decisions.
Yeah, and to overly simplify it, but I think it's appropriate. Like, Fred VanVleet and Jalen Green just flat out have to be better.
Yeah.
I'll blame them for yesterday's loss. The guys that aren't superstars didn't play like superstars, but they played your role players and your rotation players. If you get a performance that you should expect out of Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet, they wouldn't even have to be superstars. Just play like your normal game, then you've got a very good chance of winning that game.
And Fred VanVleet just continuing to chuck. I mean, they shot 29 three-pointers as a team. He shot 13 of them. That's Fred VanVleet shooting nearly half your three-pointers. If I were the Warriors, I would blindly just allow that to happen. Don't tell me how many he makes. You're telling me Fred VanVleet's going to shoot half of the Rockets' three-point shots? We're going to win this game,
My appetite for Jalen Green's mumbling is so drastically different after a win versus after a loss.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I thought the same thing. Dude, I didn't listen to the audio before we played it earlier in this show. Yeah. I'm like, oh, speak up.
I feel like anybody, the accusations of his Mamba mentality can come almost exclusively from his sound bites after losses. Oh. You just, it drives me insane.
Yeah. Sean, this weekend sucked. Rockets lose, Astros lose, night two of WrestleMania sucked. No.
Wait. Now, if you're going to talk about the whole weekend, include Friday in it, and the Astros won 2 of 3 versus the best team in baseball.
Thank you. Yeah. And not all of night two of WrestleMania sucked. The ending of the main event sucked. But the overall card, I thought, on night two was pretty damn good. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Why the hell didn't they play Jayshon Tate? He was hurt. He was out last night. So your WTF that you have after that, that's WTF was going on. He was hurt. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you as we continue here on a Monday. Up next, okay, this was kind of fun. Let's take a break from the Rockets for a second. The Bill Belichick dynamic in North Carolina, the Athletic made an open records request for his emails. And boy, the dynamic of his girlfriend with this football program. We're going to read some of the emails. Some of this stuff is absolutely fascinating. I think Belichick might be in over his head. I hate to say that. We'll have it for you coming up next. All right, so apparently the Athletic, welcome back in on a Monday, by the way. We'll circle back to the Rockets and Astros and the draft in a little bit. But this article over the weekend tickled me a little bit. The Athletic obtained several emails that were in that were part of Bill Belichick correspondence at the University of North Carolina. They made an open records request. You and I need to do more of that, Seth. You and I need to make more open records requests.
I do, which immediately I'm like, this feels aggressive for a sports story. Like that they're making an open records request to find out exactly how involved the Belichick's girlfriend is in the affairs of the UNC football team.
Because the story had come out a couple weeks ago that Belichick had told everybody within, you know, marketing and certain parts of the football program to CC Jordan Hudson, his current girlfriend, who, for those who don't know, not that it matters, but she's 49 years his junior right now. He's 72, 73. She's in her mid-20s.
She's like a year or two fresh out of grad school, right?
Yeah. Seems like a sharp cookie. The Athletic acquired 44 pages of emails from the UNC football program.
Various emails. And now, okay, real quick, before we start, I guess where I feel like it feels over-aggressive is it's not – there hadn't been accusations of – impropriety or right? It was just people were curious about just how involved she is.
Yeah, well, and
I feel like when I go make an open records request, it should be because I feel like there's some wrongdoing or something.
We don't get charged for it. Do they charge you for an open records request? We should be requesting everything, you and me.
I guess so. Yeah, we should start going after anybody in any public, any institution that's a public institution.
For one, am glad they made this open records request, because what we learned is the correspondence addresses the optics of the NFL legend hiring his son as defensive coordinator and concerns about social media attacks. We also learned that his girlfriend does not have a contract or an employment agreement with the university. So she's basically like the team mom. You know what I mean? Like she's I don't know if she's doing this pro bono or not, but she's
there. At some point, I don't know. Maybe she could sue Belichick for labor law violations.
Well, she's filed a lot of, it says in the article later, like she's filed for a lot of trademarks for Belichick's LLC for a lot of the social media stuff she's doing. So maybe she's paying him or he's paying her, I should say.
Oh, through those companies.
Maybe he's paying her. So before the Tar Heels announced they were hiring Belichick's son, Steve, for the same job he held at the University of Washington. He was the DC, University of Washington.
Yeah.
Coached several years under his dad. He's the kid that had the mullet that's very famous, you know, the very famous mullet. Hudson wrote to the school's media team to, quote, raise awareness regarding a sometimes subtle, sometimes obvious frequency occurring detail within media releases and social media posts. Though Steve Belichick is in fact Bill's son, he should be depicted and represented as his own established entity as opposed to an extension of Bill. It can be easily misinterpreted that Steve is simply benefiting from nepotism, but that is not the case. Steve was fortunate to have learned defensive football strategy from the greatest mind of all time. He has earned his position due to his performance and output. In other words, she is getting with the media team saying, look the hell out. Here come the people claiming nepotism. Yeah.
Well, and he's also saying, no, but she's also saying, like, hey, let's be sure we frame this properly.
Yeah.
So that you're not describing him like he's a nepo baby or something.
Right.
And let's ignore the fact that there's always, like, okay, there's always a little bit of both with anything with nepotism.
Yes.
Steve Belichick was a defensive coordinator at University of Washington. He has experience with the Patriots where he was working for his father. And yes, of the many jobs that he could have had or taken, it's not just coincidence that he ended up at UNC.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate the fact that she's trying to completely skip past, like, that there's any nepotism involved whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, so I get what she's saying. Like, hey, they're going to get criticism for nepotism. Let's just be sure we don't invite extra into it and just, let's present him as his own man.
Yeah.
Let's present this Nepo baby as a non-Nepo baby.
Yes. Okay. Continuing. Hudson said the school should not use images of Steve and Bill Belichick together to prevent, quote, visual prompts that could fuel accusations of nepotism. So don't, if you're about to post a picture of father and son coaching together, that's not a cuddly, lovely story. That's a story of nepotism, or at least a visual prompt of nepotism.
So there should be no pictures of Belichick and his defensive coordinator together.
Correct.
Or talking on the sideline or anything else like that.
That's right.
Okay.
She also suggested the Tar Heels avoid referring to Steve as Bill's son and instead highlight his own accomplishments. He spent a dozen years with the Patriots and called and called their defense from 2020 to 2023 before joining the Huskies.
Let's not call attention. Let's not talk about how he's working for his father. Make reference instead to the other time he was working for his father.
Oh God. Yeah.
This is simple, guys, okay?
Yeah. It is really worth emphasizing, continuing with the email here, the point that Steve has the experience of being a college defensive coordinator for 1 year, and will bring a plethora of knowledge to the coaching staff. This is the best part. They have a few six in here, you know, when they put their spelling of things and they put sick after it. I believe being strategic about the depiction of the Steve, sick, will prevent controversy and show upmost, U-P-M-O-S-T, upmost, respect towards Steve's career. Validate Bill's decision as a head coach to hire Steve.
Yeah, this has a little bit of a Easterby vibe to it, where I love the notion that, hey, instead of pointing out that he's Belichick's son, point out that he has experience as a college DC, as if the UNC social media department is supposed to say, hey, did you hear what UNC pulled off? They got themselves a coordinator who has 1 year previous experience
yeah,
as
like
a coordinator.
Yeah, like it's something to brag about.
Right. It's not the first time he's done it, people.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God.
Why did he just change his last name?
Right.
If you're concerned about it, just change your life. Go by your mother's maiden name or something.
Yeah, man. That email, and it's funny because they got the emails of the people within the strategic communications, the marketing group and everything. They are bowing to Jordan Hudson. They're like, oh, yes, no, that we'll do that. We were planning on doing that anyway, like all this stuff. Yeah. It's wild. My biggest takeaway from all this, Belichick is really creating a relationship that is going to be very hard to unwind from, if indeed he wants to unwind from it.
That if all of a sudden he wanted to step away or something.
That's a tough breakup when she's been involved in all your business and is CC'd on a bunch of your emails and is heavily involved in the marketing of the college football program in a day and age where marketing of the program is a much bigger deal now because of the recruit, because of the transfer portal and everything than it was before. He is really, he must be in love, Seth. That's all
this guy.
Say.
I bet he's in love.
Yeah,
and also it makes for a great docudrama. You know?
Oh yeah.
Someday when it's always the woman who's actually calling the shots in various areas. People are terrified of her. As you know, like Belichick's my boss, but my God, I'm terrified of her.
Well, she. I mean, you've seen that footage of her out of practice. She walks like she owns the place out there.
Yeah.
In the footage that we see, she just has the run of the place, man. Got her flowing robe on there and her knee-high boots, and she's just out there sassing it up out there at practice,
She's like the wife, the mistress in the Handmaid's Tale, which I'm watching. Mrs. Weatherford, she's terrifying.
She is.
Supposedly, she doesn't call the shots or have any power, but she's the scariest one of the bunch.
How are you handling that? You had said that it was... you know, I don't know what words you use, but it sounded like it was kind of
it's a tough watch.
There's a lot of really nasty and
awful situations.
Yeah.
You feel very, very helpless in it. Yeah, but it's good.
It's good, though? You like it? Yeah, Amy's enjoying
it. Now, I know that, and now I refuse to do any reading about it or any otherwise, because I can tell already, and I know that people try to make political stuff out of all of this. I don't care. I'm just watching the show. It's done well. Yeah.
Oh, is there a lot of that? It's
a well-made television show.
Is there a show that doesn't get politicized anymore?
No, there's nothing that doesn't get politicized anymore. We try to talk about Aaron Rodgers a little bit, and all of a sudden you're getting assaulted with all kinds of political takes. And
man.
No, you can't. So I just ignore all of it. You know where I catch up on my news? Easter dinner. Yeah. Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. That's where I tell
so
you,
yeah,
everybody, tell me what's going on in the outer world out there. Sounds rough. I'm going to go back to ignoring it.
Going back into my cave, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're all caught up after yesterday, then, is what you're saying. You got all caught up at Easter. You're all caught up on your news.
I know everything that's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Nah, I pay attention. I just don't talk
I know
about
you
it.
Do. I know you do. Is Fred...
I know that's what I do at family stuff, too. I don't really talk about it. I just listen. Okay, cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
Take it
one
all
way
in.
To think about it, sure, yeah.
Take it all in. is Fred VanVleet a text message? This isn't me asking this, but I think it's a fair question. Is Fred VanVleet the Martin Maldonado for Ime Udoka? Fred VanVleet is better at his job now than Martin Maldonado was once he...
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
He became perceived as the teacher's pet.
For one, I don't think there's any, like, I'm not worried about Fred VanVleet getting too many minutes because he's old. Yeah. That was the big thing with Maldonado was, yes, there was definite value in just how savvy he was and how well he worked with pitchers and everything. But they just rode him into the ground. He's past the age where they could or should be doing that.
Mm-hmm. Now, the big difference between the two, Martin Maldonado is probably making a few million bucks. Fred VanVleet is making $43 million.
Yeah.
And you've got a decision to make after the playoffs are over about whether to opt in on one more year of Fred VanVleet. Yeah. Right now, after one game, if this is how it continues, the only reason you'd opt in on a year of Fred VanVleet is to put him in the Durant trade to make the salaries match up. You know, That's the big decision.
Fred VanVleet, if you're going to make a cross-sport analogy, I just don't think I appreciate some of the similarities there, but there's just too vast a difference.
Yeah.
So I don't go Fred VanVleet versus Martin Maldonado. It's kind of an awkward fit. I'd say maybe having like a with Fred VanVleet, it's almost like a quarterback that you don't feel awesome about.
A little bit,
and
yeah.
Like how much are we going to really change our team strategy based around the really nice things that he does, but is he that guy?
I think the big similarity is, and I think this is where the texter is going with this, is they both feel like they've got much longer rope than their teammates do. You know, that they're going to get the benefit of the doubt. Someone said on the text page, Fred VanVleet's looks were open looks. He just missed them. No, he shot a pull-up three with 5 minutes left in the game at a crucial juncture where you needed a basket, and the least likely way you were going to get a basket was Fred VanVleet shooting a three-pointer at that point. And he pulled up on a fast break to shoot a three. Like, no, he was making poor decisions last night at times. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So we'll circle back to the Rockets as we roll on with the show here. Top of the hour, Adam Schefter has some intel on the NFL draft coming up, including some intel on the Texans that we'll get to at 9 o'clock. I have two follow-ups to two of the takes we played on Take a Mania on Friday. More Deion on the jersey retirement. another horrible jersey retirement take from Coach
another
Prime.
Another Nepo situation we got to talk about, yeah.
And Stephen A. did apologize, sort of, to the Phoenix Suns owner. We've got that audio for you coming up next. Stay there. You missed it on Friday. We have a new champion in Take a Mania, the segment that Seth and I do every Friday that highlights the poor takes from the previous week. We have a champion that carries the belt around. If they need to be knocked off if they're going to be the champion of Take a Mania. Those of you who listen to the show regularly know that the Hulk Hogan of that was Angelo Cataldi of WIP, formerly of WIP in Philadelphia, with his bad take on Andy Reid. The champion right now is Deion Sanders, head coach of the University of Colorado Buffaloes, or Colorado University Buffaloes, CU.
Yeah.
He had this take last week on the retirement of the jerseys of Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, two two-year players at the University of Colorado that amassed a record of 13-12. I should point out, Travis Hunter did win the Heisman. Shedeur Sanders was, I don't even know if he was first team all conference in the Big 12. Yeah. So
really the controversy is that the only accurate thing Deion says is at the very beginning of this.
Yeah. It's the controversies around Shedeur.
You know, retired jerseys can be a sore subject.
Not really. Alums. This is the first time I've ever seen it sore. I don't know if you know it, but I'm retired, man. I think every jersey Dern I played in is retired. So I'm pretty familiar with this. So it's never been sore.
But why do you think that? What was your message like, maybe Buff Nation and Buff alums who are wondering
why? I don't have a message. I'm praying for my AD. I love him to life, Rick George. Now, let's get the elephant out of the room. I don't want to talk about this too long. I'm going to just talk briefly and let it go. We talking about Shedeur. We ain't talking about nobody else. But his last name wasn't Sanders. We wouldn't have this discussion. The only reason we were having this discussion is his last name is Sanders. Okay?
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right. Because the only reason his jersey's getting retired is because his last name is Sanders. That's a
bingo.
That's the whole thing there, Deion. We're only having this discussion because it doesn't make any sense that you would be retiring the jersey of a quarterback who didn't even win a bowl game.
Right.
And who did. He was a part of bringing the program back to prominence, as have many, 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 many quarterbacks throughout the years at various college programs. If the bar for having your jersey retired is to go 500 over the course of 2 years, but it was better than what the previous quarterback and coach did, then by all means, yes, retire pretty much every number in football. The part about the part about him saying that it's never a big deal. I've had my jersey retired every place I've been. Right. You're one of the greatest defensive backs who ever played a game of football.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that's why it's not been a controversy with you.
That's right.
Okay. Horrible take.
Well, he had another one after. I think it's the same press conference because he's got the same jacket and same shades on. Here's another bad jersey retirement take from Deion.
He can't see that. Same thing with Rashawn Salaam, right?
Right.
How long did we wait? I say we because I'm a part of CU now. How long did we wait?
23 years after his season.
After his what?
After his Heisman?
Yeah. How many years after his death?
One. Less than one.
So we got to die to get recognized? Ain't nobody saying nothing in the church right now. Everybody got something to say otherwise. Right. Hey, man, give people their flowers while they can enjoy them and they can smell them. That's how I get down. You guys are doing a good job. I always tell you, you guys are doing a good job right now. I don't wait. I'm not built like that.
Okay, so I should have set that up better. He was asked about or brought up Rashawn Salaam, the last player to get his number retired. Heisman Trophy winner like Travis Hunter, won it in 1994. His jersey was retired 23 years later and a year after he had passed away. So Deion's point that he was making was, so we should have to wait for people to die to retire their jerseys? Why not give them their flowers now while they're here with us? And I to which I would say, Seth, and I said, I don't have a big problem with Travis Hunter getting his number retired. He deserves it. The issue isn't the timing of Shedeur. The issue is that Shedeur is getting his number retired at any time.
Shedeur could be dead next year, and it wouldn't matter. Yeah, right. Yeah,
and someone should wear number two.
He's trying. I would submit that whenever Shedeur Sanders dies, the year after, his jersey shouldn't be retired.
Should not
be retired. It has the timing of his demise has nothing to do with whether or not his jersey should ever be retired.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Yeah. So there you go. Another bad take from Deion. Let's make sure we get Stephen
A. By the way, there was a report. Somebody adamantly wanted to point out that this did not come from Sanders, that it came from the AD. That's why the jersey is being retired. Sure, Sanders is involved in discussions and everything, but it did not come from him. I have it on good authority.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, it all stems from Deion in some fashion, you know?
And honestly, it's just a weird thing that, like, it's nothing that has to be done whatsoever and shouldn't be done, and yet it makes you wonder, and it's not, I mean, I don't put it on Shedeur to refuse the honor or something, but it's one of those things where you look at it and you're wondering, okay, just how much special
Yeah.
Like, how much special attention does this kid, has he become accustomed to?
Yeah.
Because, like, this is, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
No.
It's just a really, really weird thing.
That's a program that's only retired four numbers in its history, and it retires two after two seasons with these guys, so whatever.
Steve Belichick and Shedeur Sanders are being ruined by their fathers.
Yeah,
I don't blame the kids. I don't blame you, Steve Belichick, even though you're probably 40 by now.
Yeah.
Or you, Shedeur. It's your fathers that are ruining you.
All right, let's get Stephen A. in here. If you recall, Matt Ishbia, the owner of the Phoenix Suns. Oh, I have the wrong one here, Ben. I said I'm firing Budenholzer. Do you have the other Ishbia one? I'm sorry. I put the wrong one in here. Ishbia said that Stephen A. Smith said that Ishbia, the Phoenix owner, was going to go down as the worst owner in the history of sports, which would have put him on the plane with guys like Donald Sterling and people like that. Ishbia took a great exception to this and claimed, like, Stephen A. Smith is going to apologize to me for that.
Matt, Shane Gillen with Forbes. I'm sure you, over the last couple of days, probably saw a national reporter make some, you know, ridiculous statements about you might be being the worst team owner or worst owner in professional sports history. Just kind of wondering what your response is, if you have
one. Yeah, so Stephen A. Smith, you know, I don't take much he says seriously, you know. I don't think many people do, to be honest with you. You know, the things he said about Kevin Durant, just wrong and disrespectful. The things he said about LeBron James were just disrespectful and inappropriate. And so with that being said, I don't really think Stephen A. believes that, what he said. I think, you know, he's doing his thing. He's on the mic and he's doing what he's doing. And I think he'll apologize to me because I think it's disrespectful to put my name in aligned with anybody that was kicked out of the league or no longer part. Like, yeah, if he wants to say for the first 2.5 years Matt Ishbia bought the team, we didn't win a championship, I think you probably said about almost every owner ever, but yeah, we had high expectations and we didn't win. We spent a lot of money and we didn't win. Yep. Be critical of me on that, but to even say that kind of stuff, like I said, that's just, I think, like I said, he'll apologize. I think he's out of line. I think he knows that. I don't think he really believes that.
My contention was that Stephen A. Smith is not going to apologize. I don't think he apologizes for anything. He did apologize. I was wrong about that. But he apologized about just one thing about his take on Matt Ishbia.
Matt Ishbia is absolutely right. I do owe him an apology because I mentioned Donald Sterling. I thought I was making it clear I was talking about basketball. I certainly did not mean to compare him to a person that was thrown out of this league and has been widely recognized as a racist. I should not have mentioned Matt Ishbia's name in the same breath as Donald Sterling in that regard. I did not mean to do that. I was not talking about that Donald Sterling. I was talking about the Donald Sterling that would be sitting courtside, heckling his own damn players and never winning anything and didn't give a damn. That's the Donald Sterling that I was talking about in terms of how ineffectual he was or ineffective he was as an owner on a basketball court. I certainly did not mean to do that. So Matt Ishbia is absolutely right. And for that, I apologize. I'm a man. If I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong. Unfortunately for you, sir, that's the only thing I'm wrong about. And that's the only apology that you're getting from me.
He said, and Dan Snyder is a virtual saint in comparison to you.
That was a good build by Stephen A. Smith. I'm like, oh, he's got to say that he's not apologizing for anything else. And there it was. That was good.
Did you say worst owners in NBA or worst owners in sports?
Good question. I didn't totally listen. Not sure. So Stephen A., he is a big enough man to apologize for comparing Ishbia to Donald Sterling, but he ain't getting nothing else out of Stephen A. Smith. So we got our follow-up on that. We know how that ends. Let's see. Text message coming in is the last thing. I think Shedeur owns all the QB records at CU. Stop hating. Okay.
Yeah, but owning all the QB records is different when you separate eras. Like, Cordell Stewart was a better quarterback actually won bowl games. It was part of a national championship team. Like, all various that. He's not by a long shot the best quarterback at CU.
Yeah. Darian Hagan won the national championship in 1990. He was the Big 8 player of the year and put up crazy stats, but he never threw. He was a running quarterback. Like, yeah.
Like, the passing stats. If you're going to go, happy 25th birthday.
Yeah.
If you think that passing stats from today
go look at the quarterbacks
with
he's
how great a quarterback
with.
You
yeah,
were.
Yeah. Deion Sanders, a couple people point out Deion Sanders had his number retired in Atlanta and Florida State. but not in San Fran or Dallas. I don't know that he was at those places long enough. Well, first of all, Dallas doesn't retire numbers. They do that. They do the Ring of Honor thing. Right. They don't.
Well, Deion said my jersey's been retired everywhere. So those texters are pointing out that Deion's just flat out.
Yeah. Oh, I got you. Gotcha. Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, let's get to the 9 o'clock hour here. What is Adam Schefter hearing? What scuttlebutt draft intel is he hearing about the Houston Texans and the big picks coming up on Thursday? We've got that for you coming up next.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.